Rural Focus.
Hello there to you. It is Troy Stockton with today's edition of Rural Focus. And on today's program, we're going to catch up with the Chief Executive Officer there at the Australian Pork Limited. Margot Andre is going to join us on the podcast today because, well, they've done an on-farm virtual tour. And just to provide communities around Australia a bit more with what does happen behind closed doors in the day-to-day of pork production. So we'll get Margot on and chat to her about that. Also today too, the Active Farmers Games. Well, they're not too far away here in WA. What are the Active Farmers Games and is it just for farmers? We'll find out very soon. Going to catch up with the man who's putting it all on, Boyd Ray. Boyd's going to join us very soon. But right now, let's kick off today's podcast from the Condillan Group. Time to say hello to Mark Saunders. Mate, hello there to you.
Morning, Troy. How are we today?
Not bad, not bad. Henty. The Henty Field Days were on over on the East Coast, mate. Did you get along?
Yes, I did. So we had, going to the Henty Field Days. I've heard enough of that to last me a lifetime the last couple of weeks, but they do a good job promoting the Field Days, the jingle. So that was at Henty in New South Wales last week and managed to get along for 2 out of the 3 days. I pulled a wet day on the day two of the event because they'd forecast a fair bit of rain, which didn't eventuate, which was good. Good for the event, but big event. It's probably, in terms of nums and things, one of the biggest you'll get to in Australia.
Okay.
So, and like all the others, they've had a little hiatus due to COVID. So well done to get it back on. And well done given that there were some logistical challenges. It was very wet in and around the site before the event. And luckily, they only had a bit of rain on the afternoon of day two. So, but sort of cars getting bogged in the car park and getting towed out, a bit wet underfoot on the site, but attended really well.
Yep. Is the Henty Field Day, is that the biggest one of the lot, mate?
Look, in my experience, I would say probably absolute. In terms of numbers, I think 50,000 is about average for what they get over the 3 days. And they organisers were saying they did a bit better than that this year. And I would say from being there, that would absolutely be the case. For day one, the car park was chock-a-block. And I haven't seen that for a long time, more than a decade, I would think, where we've seen numbers like that. And then we had the public holiday on Thursday, and that pulled a lot of people out as well there that probably wouldn't normally go. And they had to shut the gates at about 11:30 because the place was chock-a-block. So
okay, I believe also, mate, they did the Machine of the Year award there as well.
Yeah, so they do a fairly big comprehensive Machine of the Year competition, and they had about 22 entries in it this year, which included everything from self-propelled sprayers to tillage gear. And the Machine of the Year went to a MacDon Flex Draper front, a harvester front.
Right.
Yeah, so it's the FD2 model, which is the current or the latest version of that. Typical flex front. So I think it's got about 18 inches of flex across the width of the cutting width of the front, available in widths of, I'll talk feet, but 30 feet up to 50 feet, probably more common to talk 41 feet, which is 12.5 metres, or 45 feet, which is 13.72 metres, and 50 feet being 15.24 metres.
Look at you go.
Etched into my brain like inversions. It'll be pretty relevant given I think we're looking at a damp harvest. Okay. And, there'll be a few crops probably lodged and down and a bit difficult to get into the front. So good array of machinery there, obviously, and good just to get around and have a look at some of the stuff.
All right. And the John Deere site, they were highly commended.
That's right, So the John Deere, their See and Spray was highly commended in the Machine of the Year Awards as well. So that's some of their latest spraying technology, which we'll have a look at in the November magazine when we look at self-propelled sprayers.
Did they have the autonomous tractors or anything there, mate? Or was that still too early for those?
A little bit early to see autonomous machinery out at that scale. There were some little examples of, I suppose, sort of scale model type things, but, not the full-on commercially available stuff just yet. Won't be too long before we see that. You'll know things are getting quite real when we see an autonomous tractor sitting in a field day site that has perhaps been in use and is commercially available.
So did you get to have a look at the Draper front, mate? If you did, what were your thoughts?
I did, It looks pretty well, very well put together. So, look, they've made a few changes to subframe. So yeah. It's a, well, they're calling the backbone of it is a five-sided hollow section steel. So not a tube, not a square hollow section. It's like a pentagon shape.
Okay.
So added a bit of strength into the build there. And they've made some changes in the feeder house area to improve the, let's say, the capabilities to get that crop in off the draper belt and into the harvester. So yeah, it looks good. So we'll be hoping to get out and see some of that in action when we get some crops that being harvested. Although I understand it's underway in WA already. Ben White, my colleague, went and looked at some canola getting harvested last week.
Yeah, I didn't see that last week. Yeah, the boys were out and about. So,
some early sowing canola, I think, that had been direct-headed. So, yeah, underway. And I think there's also some crop being harvested up in Queensland at the moment as well.
All right. Yeah. Now, I believe your field days continue, mate, because you're off to, what, Elmore next week?
Off to the Elmore field days next week. That's right. Yes, that'll be the queue in the rack field day-wise for me after that. After that one. But yeah, look, that's another 3-day event. It's sort of not too far away from Shepparton in the Goulburn Valley in Victoria. So yeah, quite a big field day. Not at quite the level of Henty, but well worth getting to as there's obviously a fair bit of stuff there to see as well.
Yes. And when's it on next week, mate?
Next week, next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
And with the Condinan Group, mate, the Farming Ahead magazine, not too far away from a brand new month, so a new edition will be out very soon?
Absolutely, yes. We're just putting the October edition to bed at the moment. Yes, that hungry beast never stops. as I said, looking at self-propelled sprays, been looking at some of those in the last couple of weeks. That'll be in the November research report.
Okay.
And the current research report, the October edition, has we've had a bit of a look at input efficiencies with technology like section control, especially where that's being used in seeders and spreaders, and a bit on variable rate and a few other bits and pieces as well. Just all quite relevant there as the inputs are fairly expensive at the moment.
Yeah, certainly are. Well, mate, enjoy the Elmore field days next week. Hopefully it won't be too wet for them out there out at the Goulburn Valley and you'll be A-OK. Just helicopter it in, mate. You'll be fine.
It'll be fine airlifting. There is an airstrip there, but I think it'd be the short land and takeoff version of whatever it is getting in there if it's going to be wet.
Hey, mate, enjoy your week. Enjoy the Elmore field days and we'll chat with you again soon.
No worries, Troy. Cheers. Good on you.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
Well, a virtual tour is happening, all with thanks to the team at Australian Pork. Do have the big boss with me this morning. Margot Andre does join me. Margot, good morning and thanks for joining us on Rural Focus.
Oh, happy to, and happy to talk all things rural.
Hey, so talk us through this virtual tour that you've got up and running at Australian Pork Limited.
Yeah, so many people probably don't realise that because a lot of our piggeries are remoted, located in rural and regional Australia, there's a big distance, but we also have very strict biosecurity around our property. So 1 in 5 Australians actually told us that they didn't know a lot about how we do our production. So what we did was we turned to technology and we took the new cameras and went out and created an entire virtual tour across the supply chain so that just anyone can come and look at our industry right from back at the beginning, right through to paddock to plate. So just a nice way to, I guess, use technology, but to connect people back with our farms and our animals. And really, it's a way of us saying what we do, but more importantly, why we do what we do. Mm. So then that tour will be used for consumers, general public, but even more important, we can use it as that education resource so that young people and school students can learn about our industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And how's the feedback from the virtual tour been going? Because, of course, you can go and do the virtual tour now up at the APL website.
Yeah, look, the feedback has been really good.
Yeah.
The reality is that people are at home a lot more the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And what a great way to actually learn about the industry. And we were one of the first industries to do this in terms of going the entire paddock to plate, so showcasing the industry. We're very proud of our industry. We're very privileged to provide a safe protein to Australians. And, of course, pork comes in all sorts of products and it's beautiful. So it is a magical animal. So this is a way to show people inside our industry.
And, of course, WA piggeries play an important part of the export.
They absolutely. Mm. So we have a very strong part of our production over in the West. And most importantly, there's a very big export market there for going out as chilled product.
Yeah.
So we are very privileged to supply Australian pork into Singapore and Vietnam and Hong Kong and those countries up there. So WA plays a very big part. And again, we're part of the social fabric of rural and regional areas.
Yeah.
So we employ locals in the area. We also bring in our migrant workers who become part of that community as well. So, and our families become part of the bigger part of the community. So it's just a wonderful good news story.
Would have you done this virtual tour, say, if the current threat of foot and mouth disease and the spread of African swine fever overseas, would you still gone ahead and done this virtual tour if these two weren't out and about?
Look, we would have, because we want to make sure we're bridging the gap between where people's food comes from. We think it's really important. So, yes, we have even stricter biosecurity now, so people can't just walk on our farm and look around. So we had to try and bridge that gap. But I think in general, people are wanting to know where their food comes from, and probably extend that slightly to know that they're supporting Australian farmers as well. So
absolutely.
That's even more important.
How are the farmers that you're hearing from now? Are they a bit more calmer, or that threat is still there, of course, as we know, but are they calmed down just a little bit?
Look, I couldn't be prouder of this industry. The steps they've taken over the last, I've been in the role for 3 years, and probably the majority of that time we've been on high alert for African swine fever, which is still spreading globally. 30% of the global pig herd has been decimated through that disease. And of course, now we have foot and mouth disease on the border as well. But the industry just has gone above and beyond to protect its people and the animals and just really put that strict biosecurity in place. But most importantly, we've kind of been showing the way in terms of biosecurity, what now other industries can do in protecting themselves from foot and mouth disease. So the industry as a whole, we are, as far as we know, African swine fever free, FMD free, which is just a fantastic position to be in, that you're preparing for disease outbreak rather than responding. And the industry's really stepped up to protect and be a leader in that area.
All right. And how are things at Australian Pork Limited?
Very good. Yes. Very good. So we're managing to keep the whole market fairly stable. People can actually buy some beautiful pork products. And we've been spending the last few years making sure people know how to cook our beautiful products. Because it's such a versatile product. It doesn't matter what you want to put on the table. Whether it's our roasts or our sirloins or our mince or our beautiful bacon, there's something for everyone. So we've seen more people enjoying pork over the last couple of years, which is fantastic, but it's becoming part of a staple part of every people's weekly menu, which is fantastic.
The questions I always get are pigs healthier when they're sort of raised outdoors? Is that what you're sort of...
No, not necessarily. So we do have different production methods here, free range, raised outdoors on straw, but we do have our under sheds. And the reality is, because of our genetic breeding, we do need to give our pigs extra care. They can't just be left in a paddock and left to go. They need care. So they are checked every day.
Yeah.
They're looked after. They like certain conditions around air conditioning, heating, their water supply, their food supply. They are incredible creatures, but they do need to be looked after. So from that perspective, we're able to give them that care because of the style of production we do. And, you know, animal welfare is our top priority, along with biosecurity.
Absolutely, yes. Big one, the biosecurity measures at the moment on pig farms. You used to work in the beef industry. Very similarities with both the beef and the pigs in a way?
Very different, I would say. Okay. So in terms of beef, a lot of people, you drive down the road, you see the cows in the paddocks, you see the sheep in the paddocks. We don't do that. Our animals do need that extra level of care. So that's why we've gone down the path of the virtual tour to show people how we raise our animals. But in terms of the pigs, they do take a lot more care. So it is very different to the beef industry. And the beef industry is very export focused, where most people might be surprised to know only about 10% of our pork production is exported. 90% actually stays here to feed Australians. So we're really privileged to be that provider of protein for people. And the other thing people may not know is that we're actually often coming up against imported pork. So 80% of your ham and bacon is imported. So that's where we say to people, when you're buying those small goods, can you just turn the packaging over and just read the bar chart to make sure that anything over about 70% you can be guaranteed you're buying Australian ingredients. So, but very different industries.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, the fundamental core is we're supporting rural and regional Australia, which is just wonderful.
And are you finding more of us, more Aussies eating pork?
We are. Yeah. So over the last couple of years, we have seen people start to put more pork on their forks, our famous tagline.
Absolutely.
So, and especially around Christmas, obviously in the lead up to Christmas last year alone, there was about 1.7 million ham on the bone sold at Christmas time. And then, of course, with our International Bacon Days, we've seen an increase of bacon being sold as well around those periods. But in general, people are actually, we've seen an increase in pork consumption over the last couple of years. We'd love to maintain that.
Absolutely.
Particularly, obviously, with the price of beef and lamb, pork is a really good alternative. And a lot of people wouldn't know. Not only is it great for your waistline, great with iron and minerals and vitamins in the product, it's good on the hip pocket. But the other thing a lot of people might not know is we're surprisingly green. Our environmental credentials, we have a very low carbon footprint. We're aiming for a zero waste off farm. We actually give back more than we take. So people can actually feel good about eating pork.
Had some over the weekend, actually.
Wonderful.
Now, for our listeners out there who may not have known about the virtual tour, australianpork.com.au, the website to go to?
It is. And the tour is there. But the most important thing is that every element along that tour, there is a box there that gives a voiceover explanation of what we're doing and most importantly why we're doing it. So it's a really nice paddock to plate. Go through, you can visit parts of it, you can come back to it, and especially for those teachers out there, ready-made resource of introducing your students to the pork industry.
Yeah, I'm sure that our ag schools and just our normal schools too are certainly having a look at that virtual tour when they go back in a couple of weeks' time. Margo, thank you for your time today, and hopefully we can do it again very soon.
Happy to anytime, and hopefully you can go and enjoy some more pork.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
The Active Farmers Games, well, they're back. Were you a part of it last year? If so, hopefully you got your team in. Time right now to catch up with the event manager, Boyd Raiders. Join me. Boyd, good morning, mate.
Good morning, and what a morning it is. We're excited. We're feeling good. And very happy to be talking to you guys.
All right. So, mate, there's what, a kids course and an open course?
There is. Right. So we mainly focus on the adults. This is all for the grown-ups. The kids get enough of stuff. So this one's for us. However, I've chucked in the kids' course, and it's looking good. They're going to have a lot of fun.
So for those who don't know about the Active Farmers Games, what, teams of how many, mate?
This year, teams of two. Last year, we did teams of three. Trialing teams of two this year, and then we'll know what works best for the coming years.
Fair enough. So they can either do it male, female, two females, or two males.
That's it. So you can do any combination, and there'll be a winning category for each one. So we're winning males team, winning female team, and winning mixed team. And, we'll see who comes out on top. And then a few other little miscellaneous prizes as well. Best dressed, and I reckon a bit of a spirit award.
Okay.
Maybe the grumpy dad that got dragged along award and begrudgingly had to do it.
Oh, it's all a bit of fun. It's a bit of a family-friendly day, really, isn't it, mate?
It is, absolutely. And we've already got about 60 family campings.
Oh, nice.
Staying that night as well with music, games, not to mention the actual obstacles themselves, which get a little bit used during and outside of the designated time. We've got lassoing horse heads and zip lines and slippery slides and all kinds of fun and games, not to mention all the lawn stuff as well.
Yeah, and it's probably important too with harvest not too far away, mate, for, you know, mums and dads and the workers to go out and get a bit of physical activity for a little bit.
Exactly. I mean, that's what Active Farmers is all about and why we do this each year. It's just a grassroots approach to improve the mental and physical health of those in rural areas and through regular exercise and consistent fun classes. So we like to do this once a year to get people out and make sure they get together, have a good time before we do jump in the headers and disappear for a couple of months, and hopefully we're a real good harvest.
So Saturday the 8th of October is when this all happens, mate. So if people are wanting to nominate, what's the best way?
So they can jump on www.activefarmers.com, hit events, and that will lead you through to the Active Games Western Australia, which is proudly brought to you by David Gray's AgLink. Otherwise, they can jump if they're on Facebook. We've got the Active Games Western Australia Facebook page, which has got links in there. But just look up Active Farmers and go to events, and you should be sweet as kids. kids are free entry, and then for the adult teams that are the all times and everything, that is $35 for that one. So we can try to make it as cheap as possible to get everyone around, and we better book in quick. We've only got out of the 100 spots available, 100 teams, there's only 20 left.
That's
very exciting.
Fantastic,
a lot of people getting involved.
Is there still 28 obstacles like last year, mate?
Well, I got a little bit carried away. Much to the organising committee that they try and keep their mouths shut so they give me ideas, because I take that ball and I run. But now 35 obstacles, they're officially.
Yeah.
There might be one or two sneaky ones that I've.
Yeah, well, that's why you've got to keep them on their toes, mate.
Got it. It's fantastic, yeah.
All righty. So, yep. Be a part of it. The Active Farmers Games, just Google that. Saturday, the 8th of October, they're at Albany. Well, you're about 20 k's out of Albany or something, though, aren't you, mate, with this?
That's right. Yeah. So we're in Tor Bay. Okay. Just, it's all the information's on there. It's a beautiful view. That's why we've offered the camping both nights so people can make a full weekend of it. And we've got people up from Kellerberrin.
Oh,
we've even got the CEO flying in from Sydney to join us for the day. And absolutely everyone's welcome. That's the one point I really want to put out there.
Yep.
You do not have to be a farmer or anything like that. This is for absolutely anyone in Albany, Mount Barker, wherever else from all across Australia.
Absolutely.
You're all welcome regardless. It is what we are doing with this event is raising money to continue the great work that Active Farmers does in the rural regions.
Of course, as we said, just gets you out and do a bit of physical activity, which hasn't hurt really anybody and sort of might even help your mental health if you're out and about as well. And, mate, you've had some pretty good sponsors again this year.
Now we've got a lot of people got right behind it. We've got David Gray's Agling being our major sponsor. Then we've got the Elders crew, which has just been fantastic and supported myself in WA starting up Active Farmers over the last 3-4 years. Then Amity Health has jumped on board with Sumitomo and a heap of other ones, minor sponsors, which make it all happen. Mm. And not to mention, of course, the Department of Local Government, Sport and Cultural Industries, which have supported it for the next and committed for the next 3 years.
Beautiful.
So they've chucked in for that one to make sure this continues, and each year I can build her up, make it bigger and better. And so if anyone's not sure out there, think like a Tough Mother or a True Grit kind of obstacle course with a bit of rural inspiration and an emphasis on teamwork. And it's not too bad. I do want to say it is 4.8 kilometres. However, if any of the obstacles, you know, you're not comfortable with, or you know, I do want you to challenge yourself, but you can always just walk around it or, you know, get your partner to do it twice. It's all going to be explained on the day, but it is all inclusive and everyone, want to just be a little bit of a more marathon this year. But have a good time. So you deserve maybe a little drink afterwards.
Yeah, why not too? It's the Active Farmers Games, Saturday the 8th of October. Teams of two, you can do it, you know, female, male, or get your girlfriend or get your boyfriend into it. Why not too? So be a part of it. Mate, thanks for your time. We might even check in with you closer to the date, mate, and see how things are going to go for that weekend.
That'd be awesome. Can I chuck in one last thing for you?
Go for it, mate. Yeah.
Absolutely. If anyone out there does want to win a free team pass, get hold of the Ag Connect crew, Ag Connect WA, and pretty much guarantee at the moment if you send in a photo of them doing some sort of exercise on a rural property, do a push-up on a trough or in the yards or something like that, send them in, hashtag FarmFit22 or email them, you'll pretty much get a free pass into the game. So get around the Ag Connect WA crew.
Hey, mate, all the best with it. We'll catch in with you a couple of days out.
Beautiful. Thanks, Antra.
Yeah, so there you go. You don't just have to be a farmer to be a part of the Active Farmers Games. Of course, Saturday the 8th of October. To register now, go ahead and do that. As we said, there's the open course, teams of two, mixed, female or male, or get involved in the kids' course, Active Farmers Games. Just Google that and get your team in today. I've been Troy Stockton, and I do look forward to bringing you another Rural Focus podcast right here on the Listener app. Again, very soon.